Thankful for the song this morning because I believe it'll go along with our thought. Appreciate the Lord and what He can do. And many times we get to a place where we say, if it wasn't for the Lord, tell me what would I do? Been thinking this week about discouraging things that can happen to us. And I'm guessing that all of you have had discouraging things happen to you. Many times it seems like that's all that happens to us, is just discouraging things. And every time, everywhere we look, it seems like something is not turning out the way we anticipated it turning out. Might be a physical project we're working on. It might be the time frame of something, whether it's building some kind of relationship, or maybe you've put a time frame on yourself. I want to get something done by a certain date or a certain time, and it just seems like one thing after another happens and it doesn't materialize. So the enemy likes to move in and set up camp at those times and cause us to feel discouraged. You know, one of the most popular things in our world today is despondency, discouragement, and depression. It's all around us. Our world today doesn't know how to turn to the Lord when they have disappointing things happen. So instead of turning to the Lord, instead of being able to have the courage to face what tomorrow may bring or what today has delivered, many times people around us look around us and they feel like the sky is falling, the world's caving in, and everything is just going the wrong way, and they become depressed. I've been thinking too of, recently had a small child at my house, and they were not wanting to do what the adults wanted them to do. So you could tell they were being stubborn and they weren't getting to do what they wanted to do. So you know what children tend to do? You know about this lower lip thing? You know, their lip was sticking out. So I ended up sticking my lip out and getting my face over close to them and taking a picture of us together with my phone. So they, you know, then showed it to them so we could look at how we looked like with our lips stuck out like that. And you know, adults, we don't typically stick our lip out. Maybe there's a few of you that would, I don't know. But typically we don't stick our lip out but when things don't turn out right. But we do get the adult version of that, and that's called being down in the mouth. Have you ever heard that? We get down in the mouth and kind of discouraged, and that means that we don't answer very quickly when people ask us questions, and it usually means that we don't smile when we ought to smile, and it usually means that we just, there's just kind of a little cloud of gloom that just kind of goes wherever we go. There's just this little gloomy atmosphere that follows us. So it's real popular in our world to be down in the mouth. And it gives way to all kinds of medically treated things in our world out there. People attempt to fix it with all kinds of drugs and all kinds of things that cheer people up and help them not feel the pain and all of those kind of things. And really what the bottom line is, our society needs the Lord. That's really what happens. We really need God as a people to be able to survive the things that just will happen to us. So I would like to talk to you today about courage with the help of the Lord. And I want to ask a question. I thought about asking for a show of hands, but I thought, no, that won't happen because somebody will get the wrong answer and then they might feel gloomy because they didn't get the right answer. So I'm going to ask the question and then I'm going to give you the answer, but I want you to answer it for yourself before I give the answer. And my question is, Do you feel like that there are some people that just are naturally gifted to be courageous? Do you believe that? Do you believe that people, there are some people that are just more prone to having courage than other people? Now you just answer that for yourself. Don't tell me what you think. Yeah, just kind of born with it. It's just kind of a trait. Just kind of like some people have blonde hair and some people have dark colored hair and some people have blue eyes and some people have brown eyes and you can't really change it a whole lot. Do you believe people are just born to be more courageous and more adventuresome than others? And do you believe that your courage depends on other things working out? Maybe people doing what they're really supposed to do, or do you believe your courage depends on that? Well, I'm going to say if you answered yes to those questions, that you're wrong. All right? I don't believe that anybody is born with a bend towards being courageous. I don't believe anybody is naturally gifted to have courage. And I don't believe the courage that you have is dependent on people or circumstances. I don't say that lightly, because I know how much of an affront that can be to where you are today. I'd like to read a definition. I don't know that you're there, but I'm just saying it could be. You know, if the devil has got you in the popular situation of being discouraged and being down in the mouth and on the verge of being clinically depressed, if I can use that terminology, he's got you just where he wants you. And I want to tell you that the way out is up to you. It's up to you. It's not up to me, although I'd like to help you. And it's not up to your spouse. It's not up to your parents. It's not up to those around you, but it's up to you if you want out. I'll read a definition of courage. It says, bravery, intrepidity, the quality of mind that enables men or women, in this case, to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression. Depression is rampant in our world today. Without fear or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, and resolution. So I told you that I believe that the way out of being discouraged, the way out of depression, the way out of your gloomy little cloud and being down in the mouth is up to you as an individual. It's not up to whether my wife does the right thing or my husband does the right thing or whether everything clicks on the job or not. You know, I have told my wife many times when things that are discouraging happening to me on my job, in my occupation, I've told her, I said, sometimes it'd be nice just to go get a job sacking groceries. That job is just about off. It's just about obsolete anymore. But when I was a boy, that was seemed to be a good after-school project or summertime job for young people, is to sack groceries and carry them out to the car and put them in the trunk for people. I would think that that ought to be a pretty simple job that didn't take a lot of, that didn't induce a lot of stress. Although I'm sure if you put the bread on the bottom and and then put the milk in the flyer on top that you could get in a stressful situation. But I'd like to talk to you today about our responsibility as an individual to have courage, and I want to read to you some scriptures, a lot of scriptures with the help of the Lord, about people that we would say they're courageous in the Bible, but yet I don't believe they were naturally courageous. They were courageous, they were brave in the face of obstacles because they made a decision with the help of God to be courageous. So I'd like to turn to the first one in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. I want to notice what Moses said to Joshua. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, and I want to read verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Now, Moses is talking to, about the sixth verse, he's addressing the Israelite people. In the seventh verse, he's addressing Joshua. All right? I mean, you can read all the background if you want to, but for the sake of time, I ask that you would take my assessment of it. The sixth verse, Moses is talking to the Israelite people at large. And would you say that they were just gifted in being courageous? I don't think so. They had just come out of slavery, and any type of courage that they might have exhibited had been beat down by their overseers. They had been conditioned to being submissive and compliant for over nearly 400 years. They had been slaves for so many generations that they really didn't have any memories of not being slaves. They heard stories about Jacob and Israel, and they heard stories of Joseph and Judah, and all. They heard all those stories, but they didn't have any memories. They'd been slaves so many generations that when they come to the place of getting out of Egypt, they didn't have any courage. I mean, you remember what happened when they got out there and got between the Red Sea and the rocks all around them and the Egyptians behind them? "You just brought us out here to kill us." They didn't have any courage. They wasn't courageous at all. And here it's at the end of Moses' life, and Moses charges the people, "You be of good courage and be strong. You do that." Why did he tell them to do that? Because they weren't just naturally gifted in courageous mentality. He was still talking to people that had been slaves themselves. And he said, I'm sure there had been children born by this time, but he said, "You be strong and of good courage." It boils down to you and I have to have courage ourselves. All right. And then he turns to Joshua and he says the same thing to Joshua. Now, how would you like to all of a sudden being given the task of being a leader with some non-courageous people? And you're taking them in to a battle, and you need people to be courageous and be able to not back up when the enemy gets a little close. You want people to be able to stand and look the enemy in the eye and intimidate the enemy. That takes courage, doesn't it? So he's telling Joshua, "You be strong and of a good courage." And then I'd like to go down towards the end of the chapter in the 23rd verse. And it says here, "And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge." A charge. A responsibility. Delegation. a job. If we delegate a job, we're giving something to somebody for them to do. We're not handing it to them already done. We're saying, here, you do this. So he said to Joshua, and he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Now who's speaking here? It's not Moses. It's God himself. So we have in this chapter Moses speaking to the children of people at large, Moses speaking to Joshua, and then ultimately we have God himself speaking to Joshua, and they all said the same thing, you be strong and you be of good courage. There's a lot of stuff to get done here. But you can't back up. You cannot allow yourself to succumb to discouragement. You be strong. You be of good courage. Moses said it, and God said it. Now I'd like to go on to Joshua, the first chapter, and I would like to read beginning in verse 5. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Here's another order, another command, I'm telling you something to do. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Listen, these are the words of God. He's talking to Joshua. He says, have not I commanded thee? Have you ever told your children, cheer up? Obviously, you didn't say that because they was happy and laughing. You said that because they had their lip hung out. You said that to them because they were disenchanted with their circumstances. I didn't get to ride the bicycle. I didn't get the first lick on the ice cream cone or whatever it was. And they got their lip hung out, and then they want to act like they don't want nothing to do with any of it. I don't want to ride the bicycle anyway. I'll just walk. No, you really didn't want to ride the bicycle because you was throwing a fit. And you was telling them, cheer up. This is not the end of the world. My parents told me, I've told my children, you got the same britches to get glad in. All right? God says, I have commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. The Lord gives a command to be strong and of good courage, not because he's talking to somebody that's just naturally gifted to be courageous. It's because he knew they were going to be susceptible to discouraging things. He knew that human nature was one to get their feelings hurt and to become depressed and discouraged because things aren't going the way that I wanted them to go. And now I feel like the world's caving in, and surely I'm going to have to duck to keep from the sky hitting me on top of the head now. I just get my head down, I'm looking around, and I can't. Nothing I seem to attempt seems to go right. So now I'm getting down in the mouth. And God said, I command you. It's not a, here I'm going to, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 30 days and everything you touch will just turn to gold. It'll just be a Midas touch. You know, you go to do something and it's like when you just reach out and start to work on something, things just kind of and fall into place. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, sometimes We do things on our job that maybe you're putting oil pan on. Putting one on the other day, and it's like, how many bolts do you think it takes to hold the oil pan on? There must have been 37 of them on this one oil pan. Wouldn't it be nice just to put one of them in and start it, and all the others just jump out of the little parts tray and just go and went in themselves? Wouldn't that be nice? The Lord ain't going to do that for me. I don't have the faith for it. And trust me, the Lord's not going to do it for you either. But He will command you to be of good courage. He did to Joshua. He said, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. You know, we have opportunities to be dismayed all the time. And if you don't, I do. Everywhere I look, there's something. I can't believe it. You know, I told them to do this, and look at what's happening. You want to pull your hair out? Some people say maybe that's why you're gray. Maybe it is. I don't know. But you know, there's lots of opportunities to be dismayed if we'll just let ourselves be dismayed. But that's not God's plan for us. God does not want us to be dismayed, nor discouraged, nor have our lip hung out, nor be down in the mouth. He wants us to have courage. He says here, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Even when things aren't going right, the Lord is going with you, and His command is to be strong and of good courage. It's up to us to have the courage. All right? We're going to have to suck it up and get it. If we don't, we're going to be dismayed by the things that's going on around us and the things that don't turn out right. Let's turn, well, maybe it's not another page for you, but let's go on down to verse 18. Now, the setting is changed. God commanded Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And then in the book of Joshua, you have the account where there were 2.5 tribes, or 3 tribes, that did not want to go over into the Canaan land. So they said, we'll go and help you conquer the land, but we are not going to... We want our inheritance on this side of the Jordan River. Okay? So, come down to the 18th verse, and these tribes, or the spokesman from them, are speaking to Joshua, and he says, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Now this is not God. This is the people, representatives from these tribes that's willing to go and help them. And they're saying to Joshua, I know there's going to be people that is not cooperative in all of that. And if they don't follow the rules, then they need to suffer the consequence. And I know it's going to be discouraging. But even though it's discouraging, don't be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. Having courage is a decision that we can make with God's help. All right? Having courage is not because the stars lined up and somebody showed up and said, I'm here to help you. That's not courage. That can help us have, and we're going to get to one where someone took courage, but it was because somebody else showed up. But the command is that we are to be strong and of good courage, even when things that's going on around us are dismaying to us. Okay? So let's go to Joshua, the 10th chapter. And we're going to read in the 25th verse, Joshua 10, verse 25. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Now here's the setting that we have here. You remember that the Gibeonites had came and made a deal with the Israelites. Remember that story? And because they did, there was five kings of the Amorites. One of them was the king of Judah. One was the king of Hebron. One was the king of Jarmuth. And one was the king of Lachish and the king of Eglon. These five kings came with their armies and said, because the Gibeonites had made a deal with the Israelites, we're going to go stomp on the Gibeonites. Five kings now. And they went over there, and when they did, the Gibeonites sent a message to Joshua, "We're your servants, come and help us." That's what they said. So here, Joshua went over there and asked God to go with him. And during the course of the battle, this is the battle where Joshua commanded the sun to set still. And it's the battle where God sent stones falling out of the sky. I don't know if they were hailstones or if they were rocks like Rodney and I was picking up yesterday. But we picked up some rocks that if they fell out of the sky and hit people on the head, it'd kill them. Right, Rodney? Okay, so it says that there was more people that God killed with stones falling out of the sky than the Israelites did with the sword. And the Lord destroyed these armies. And it was so scary that these five kings run off and hid in the cave. Now, I don't know what y'all think about this kind of battle, but it'd been amazing to be there, wouldn't it? To see the Lord give you that kind of... Five kings, not just one at a time, but five of them all together. And their armies was wiped out, and the kings went and hid in a cave. And Joshua said, go drag those fellows out, and they executed them and hung them up on a tree all day long. And he told the people, that's what he's telling the people after this had happened. He said, be strong. He said, fear not, nor be dismayed, for be strong and of good courage, for this shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. So here again, Joshua is trying to help them see the pattern of God's help, but he said, you've got to be strong, and you've got to have courage. Courage is something that we have to choose to have with God's help. It's not always easy, because there's enemies all around. There's people that wants to wipe us out. There's circumstances that seem to be set against us. Now let's go to 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. I've been impressed with how many times the Scripture says, be strong and of good courage. Like, people don't know how to do that. And you know, sometimes we don't know how to do that. All right? But it doesn't mean that we're waiting on courage to sneak up on us. Because if you're waiting for courage to sneak up on you, it'll never happen. It just won't happen. So 1 Chronicles 22 and 13, it says, then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not. You ever felt dread? I have. Oh boy. Here we go again. I wasn't looking forward to this. I just can't hardly see my way clear. I just can't take it anymore. Maybe you've said all of that. If you hadn't, you probably thought it. It says, dread not, nor be dismayed. But the antidote for dread not, nor being dismayed, the antidote for that is be strong and of good courage. And the setting here is that David is charging Solomon with the responsibility to be a leader. This command was because for generations they had realized that courage was not just a natural tendency or characteristic. You can go back and read these chapters later. Catch up on all the behind the scenes. But David is telling Solomon, this is years after Joshua, you see, and he says to Solomon, be strong and of good courage. Don't be what? Don't dread not, nor be dismayed. You're going to have a lot of things that's going to cause you to feel apprehensive. You're going to have a lot of things that's going to cause you to dread the next day. What you're going to face when you get to the job. What you're going to face when somebody walks in the room. What you're going to face when this doesn't work out like you want. You're going to have lots of opportunities for that. But he says, don't do it. When our children have been unhappy and they've been frowning and their old mouth is turned down and they've been crying and all of that, I've told the boys many times, you got your smile on upside down. You need to turn it over. You need to start turning them corners of the mouth up. You need to start getting a happy expression on. You can't go on like this. I won't let you. Commanding them, you see. The Lord said, Moses said, Joshua said, now David is saying, be strong and of good courage. All these people are brave men, right? Were they born brave? I mean, just big, robust. They might have been the scrawniest looking little babies that ever hatched out. I don't know. They might have been the weakest, most intimidated looking little fellows growing up. I don't know. I know David's brothers didn't think a lot of him because he was only fit to guard the sheep. Why did David go out and fight Goliath? You remember that? He said, is there not a cause? His courage was not based on, I'm just a naturally courageous man. It's because there was a cause. There's a reason. Why do you need to have courage? Well, if you've got a wife and a family, that's a cause. You got a little child that's looking to mama, that's a cause. You got a neighborhood that's in need and people that's destitute and they're calling somewheres for prayer. That's a cause. It's time to be courageous. And then when older people start getting weaker and they're not able to do that, maybe their thinker is not thinking right any longer and all that, there's a cause there to be strong, to be of good courage. It's not a time to be dismayed, nor to dread. It's a time to be strong and to have the courage that God wants us to have. In 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, in verse 20, he says, and David said to Solomon, he's strong, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. What's he telling him here? He's telling him, be strong, don't be dismayed with the overwhelming task of building of the temple. I've prepared, he goes on and talks about, he'd had 1 million talents of silver and 100,000 talents of gold, and he had brass and all this other stuff just without number. It was so much. But his command was to Solomon, be strong and do it. Don't back up. Don't give in. Don't allow the things that look like it should overwhelm you. Don't allow them to crush your spirit. Be of good courage. But you're going to have the courage. The command is to be strong and have courage. David's telling Solomon that again. I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, and the 8th verse. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord which was before the porch of the Lord. Well, we could go up there and start reading it. Maybe I will. I'll start reading it, verse 1 of this chapter. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country." Isn't that where we live? Isn't there vexation all around us in the world we live? There are people that's troubled. You don't have to go but across the street to find somebody that's discouraged and down in the mouth and downhearted. And there's so many negative things going on around. Our news media capitalizes on it. How many times do you look at something that's in the news or read something on the internet, and it's talking about good, wholesome things and how profitable it is for families to have family reunions and mamas and daddies to get along with one another and nurture their children? Yeah, that don't make the news. What makes the news is suspected suicide and somebody went postal on somebody. That's what makes the news. It's all around us. But he says, "A nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abomination. What did it just say? Asa done what? Took courage. He took some initiative to get some courage. It's not because everything just started falling into place and everybody says, "You know, I'd like to know what it'd be like if we'd be real sincere Christians. You know, I'd like to, for everybody to, and I wished everybody in Webb City would wake up, would have woke up this morning and says, I'd just like to see what would happen if everybody in town was a sincere Christian. Wonder what kind of impact that'd have on our schools, and on our police department, and on our, how we got along when we hit the roundabout out here. Just like to know how that happened." We can't wait for that to happen. We're going to have some courage to face the world that's around us and the things that happen in our life. Be strong and of good courage. Don't wait for it to happen. You do it with God's help. All right? Now I'd like to turn to Acts, the 28th chapter. Bear with us. I'd like to say we're almost done, but we're not. Acts 28. In verse 15, he says, "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apiphorum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." Did you know when somebody walks in the room, they can be somebody that you have wished would come and see you, seen you, And maybe somebody calls you on the phone, and now that we have phones that tell us who the caller is, we see their number. You know, sometimes we see somebody's name come up and say, I'm not going to answer the phone right now. I'll let them leave a message. That's an epidemic in our world. That's another subject. But anyway, you know, sometimes when the phone rings and I see the name on there, it's like, I scramble, I want to answer this call. I want to hear what they have to say. It's somebody I hadn't heard from in a while. It's somebody I'm anticipating giving me something that maybe will help me with my discouragement or my situation that I'm in. And Paul said that when they came and he saw them, he says he thanked God. And then he done what? He took courage. Courage don't just jump on you. You're going to have to take it. You're going to have to get a hold of it yourself. Courage is not something that you're just going to feel because I'm going to tell you, it don't work that way. It won't work that way. Yes, I want to feel courageous. I want to feel the courage of support and all of that. But there's a lot of places in life that we're going to have to take courage. We're going to have to be courageous because things aren't just exactly like I'd like for them to be. I'm going to have the initiative to listen to the Lord when He says, be strong and of good courage. We're going to have to accept the instruction of the Lord along this line. I'd like to go back to Judges, the 20th chapter. And we're going to face some places like this sometimes. In Judges chapter 20, the people of Israel, there's a lot of details you could read about this, but I'm going to tell you the basics of it. They went out and engaged in a battle, and they lost 21,000 men. Now, I don't know what losing 21,000 men in a battle would mean to you, but to me, that would be very discouraging. I would be dismayed. I would be down in the mouth. I would be discouraged. In fact, it'd be real easy to go into depression over that if you was the leader. But notice what it says in verse 22. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set the battle again in array in the place where they put themselves array in the first day. What did it just say? It says they encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first place, the first day. Did you know that courage is something that we're going to have to be determined to have? I would like for us to be encouraged just because, but you're going to have to be encouraged because you want to be encouraged. You're going to have courage because you have a desire to have courage. You have an objective to be encouraged. Got a few more scriptures. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. Verse 6, chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. It says, and David was greatly distressed because the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved. Now, you know, if sometime this afternoon, because of what I've said this morning, y'all were very discouraged with me and displeased with me, and you started thinking about stoning me, I'd be dismayed. I just know I would. I'd be discouraged. And I'd probably be more than a little bit scared. And David had a good reason to feel that way. They had just came home from being abroad, engaged in battle, and when they came home, they found all of their wives and children and all of their possessions gone and the city burnt. Now, if we go home this afternoon and my house is burned down, there's no question but what I'm going to be dismayed. And you would be too. If your house catches on fire and your everything goes up in smoke while you're at church, you would think that the Lord would protect your house while you was gone to church, right? Sounds reasonable to me, but I'm just a human. You know, David was out engaged in people that were in battle with people that were coming against God's children. He was doing the Lord's work. And when he got home, everything was gone and the town was burnt. And his men that were with him said, "Man, what a leader have we. I think it's time that we just stone him and get a different one." But notice how this verse ends up. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David did what?" David did something. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Did you know that if you get home and something catastrophic has happened, it doesn't matter if you've been to work, or if you've been to church, or to school, or wherever you've been, if you get home and something catastrophic has happened to your stuff while you're gone, did you know that you're going to have to encourage yourself? You will. You're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to go and you're going to have to do more than say, "Lord, I don't know why all this bad stuff's happened to me." Maybe you got a little bit of room to say that. But you're going to have to say, "Lord, I don't know why this has happened, but I need some help. I feel like crawling off and crying somewheres. I feel like caving in. I feel like giving up." It's all right to tell the Lord everything you feel, but you're going to have to say, "Lord, I need some get up and go. I need to be able to face this, whatever it is. I need to be able to go ahead with life." Remember what happened to the Israelites when they got carried off captive? God's command to them wasn't to just go huddle up and feel sorry for yourself. He said to build houses, live life. And unless the catastrophe takes my life, the Lord expects me to be strong and of good courage. Even when it don't look like, we don't have a good reason to be good courage, of good courage. Lord, help us. It's a command. If you don't get nothing else out of the thought this morning, realize the Scripture says that we have an obligation to do it. There's a cause, folks. 2 Chronicles, 31st chapter. And the 4th verse. He says, "He appointed also the king's portion of his substance." We'll go ahead and read down to it. "For the burnt offering, to wit, for the morning and even burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the set feast, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwell in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord." You know it helps when other people do things to encourage us? It does. But it doesn't matter how much somebody else does things to help encourage us, if we don't take courage like Paul did, we'll never get it. If we aren't determined to be encouraged, we won't be encouraged. Have you ever tried to encourage somebody and try to help them realize that things weren't quite as bad as they thought it was? Yeah, but oh my. My, whatever. I lost something, you know, something that was important and valuable to him. It's not here any longer. But do you realize how important that? Yes, I know that. But it's not the end of the world. You know, you can go get another one. Or we'll help you try to recover. Yes, but it's gone. It's gone. You know, unless somebody is willing to say, you know, you're right. You're right. It's not the end of the world. I still have my family. I still have my both hands and both feet and both eyes. And, you know, I've got some things, whatever it is, to be thankful for and take courage. If we don't take courage, we can be right down there mumbling about the things that we've lost and the things that we're discouraged about and never get any courage to go on. And the end result of that is the plan of the enemy to bring us into discouragement and depression and despondency to where our soul's existence is snuffed out. And we cannot allow that. We cannot go down that path. The command of the Lord and Joshua and David and all of these others we've been reading about is to be encouraged, to take courage, to be strong. And when somebody comes along and tries to help us, you think how discouraging that is to them. Well, they were here. They tried to point out the things that I had to be thankful for, and yet, oh, I know I was a discouragement to them. You know, we got to stop and think about that sometimes too. Like to go to Isaiah 41 and verse 7. Notice here what Isaiah said. Isaiah 41, verse 7. He says, so the carpenter, let's start in verse 6. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. I like somebody to say to me, be of good courage. He says, so the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. You know, we have a responsibility to help and to encourage one another. But I can't make you have courage. And you can't make me have courage. And you can't make me be strong. Although I can help you, I cannot make you. I want to. There's times I've wanted to make somebody strong. I've wanted to help them. I have given of myself to try to help them, and they wouldn't. They just couldn't take it. Or they wouldn't take it. That's really what it boils down to. We have to be willing to take courage. God said, take courage. All right? Be of good courage. Did you know that courage that grows from constitution or willpower or all of that, strong personalities, courage that comes from that often leaves us when we really need it? I don't care how big and tough and strong you are. There's things that causes you to be scared once in a while. But I'm going to tell you something that'll help. It's courage that arises from a sense of duty. It acts in a much more uniform manner. Courage from a sense of duty. Now every one of you here this morning has responsibilities. And with those responsibilities is a sense of duty. And I'm not going to try to enumerate them all. We've talked about them earlier a little bit. If you're a father, you've got a responsibility to your wife and to your children if you got children. If you're a wife, you have responsibility to your husband and to your children if you got. There's an obligation here to have courage. There's a sense of duty. And may God help you to embrace it and to accept it and take courage. Courage, this is what I want to say with the scriptures I've read to you this morning. Courage is our responsibility. It doesn't come from favorable surroundings. It doesn't come from natural makeup. It only comes when we're determined to have it and challenged to have it by those around us. That's the only way we're going to get it. We'll never be courageous if we're waiting for things to line up and be perfect. We'll never be courageous. The whole point of being courageous is that you address things that are adverse. I want us all to be courageous this morning. I want you to be of good courage. I can't make you be of good courage. I can't make you face life. I can tell you what maybe I would do. But you know, I have discouraging things too, just like you do. I want you to be encouraged. I hope that the thoughts this morning will be a strengthening for your spirits. But don't give in to the devil. Don't give in to the discouragement. Don't allow yourself to be dismayed and be despondent, because that's the works of the devil. And I can try to help somebody. I can point them to the Lord. I can point them to things that they have got going for them. I can do all of that. But it's up to us as an individual to take courage. And not only is it up to us, we have a responsibility in our life to take courage. You pray for me.